We are still at Woombora.
I mean, we just need to dive right into this because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we couldn't resist. We had to record this episode straight away because it's just completely fresh in our memory still. And we arrived at Woombora yesterday, about 24 hours ago to be exact. And it's been probably the best 24 hours on safari that I've had, that I can remember.
Just for context, where is Woombora in terms of the greater Delta area?
That's good that you mentioned that. But Woombora is just on the it's in the northern part of the Delta, just on the kind of northeastern side of the main channel. It's in a sector called NG22, and it's also quite close to where the Selinda spillway comes into the Delta. There are just these massive open plains, these flood plains that get seasonally flooded. They had lots and lots of water in the last year and in the last rainy season, so there's lots of water here still.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are these islands.
Huge.
Basically, yeah. These big islands that have these massive riverine trees like jackalberries. I'm just looking around here because we're underneath one. Lots of croton bushes, and it's
really, really beautiful scenery.
As a habitat goes, Karakwe was really, really nice. I'm going to say that the Linyanti marsh was really nice flying over it, but the rest of the Linyanti areas, maybe not as necessarily scenic, but...
You're just driving around and you're constantly like, holy moly, it's so beautiful here.
Yeah, it's really open, really perfect photographic safari, and we landed from landing we were in like safari heaven.
And all right, so what happened? We left the airstrip.
Our guide Willie tells us it's about 45 minutes to get to the lodge. We say, great, let's go. It was a little bit cooler, and he said, oh, the temperature is nice, you know, maybe we'll see something.
They had a little bit of rain the day before, which was definitely keeping it
exactly. So I'm going to try and go over the like kind of normal sightings quickly. We saw some elephants, and the elephants, there was a very cute little calf that for some reason didn't have a tail. There were two that didn't have a tail.
Both.
And we were talking to Willie about what it might be, and he said maybe it's some sort of an infection, or it's also sometimes predation, like hyenas can go for them. And anyway,
but they were being very cute and playful.
Yeah.
I think because it was still a bit cloudy.
Yeah.
They were a little bit more active, and one of them lied down, and then the other one went and lied down, and then sat on top of its sibling. It was just very, extended.
Lay down.
Either one.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
But they were just very, very cute. And then we had a giraffe that came by, and it had a like large growth on one of its cheeks that we thought was just full of food. But that was kind of fun.
And it was kind of salivating strangely.
It was drooling.
As
it was
a result,
just kind of a sif.
It was old.
It was an old, bumpy, lumpy giraffe that was just fun to take pictures of, and he was cute and had funny kind of like sideways ears.
Right, and so we watched this scene for a little bit. I've got a nice photo of you where this big elephant and this giraffe are just in the background, and you're taking a photo of them. Then we drive on, and Willie kind of like excitedly, and he was genuinely excited, goes, oh, there's dogs.
And we had asked him, like, you know, we haven't seen dogs yet. Have you been seeing dogs around? Like, we don't want to get our expectations or our hopes up, but he says dogs, and I was like, what? He's like, dogs. And I wasn't sure if he was kind of like, I just didn't know it was, it didn't even like enter my, I was just so taken aback.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are the wild dogs.
Yeah, right. These dogs are lying in the corner of this pan, this like little drying up water source. And there's three of them. We see three at first, these three adults. And we kind of drive over. And after a very short period of time, this youngster, this pup from this season's litter, so, you know, I'm going to say 4 or 5 months old or something.
I think he said four, yeah.
Yeah. Walks out of this bush and walks and lays down right beside the other dogs. And what was cool was those dogs, you could tell they'd fed that day. Because
they had blood on their faces.
They had blood on their snouts, and they were very lethargic, like they weren't moving around a lot. They were alert because there's a lot of predators in this area, as you'll find out later. but... they were looking around constantly, but they were also not really in a rush to do anything other than lie down there.
And they had big bellies as well, so...
Yeah. What was really cool was that a variety of animals came down to this very small pan to drink at the same time that the wild dogs were there. And now I've seen wild dogs a lot, but I've not necessarily spent as quality a time with them as I'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when wild dogs are in the same area as other mammals that are not predators, those other mammals get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, they really get out of there as quickly as possible.
Why but, is that?
Well, because dogs are such good hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if dogs try and hunt something, then they very regularly succeed in hunting
right.
it. And they also hunt just a huge variety of different prey. So they
yeah.
go from anything from as small as, like, I'm going to say like a scrub hare probably,
mm.
to like large antelopes. You see, I mean,
right.
I've heard of wild dogs recently taking down buffalo in Hwangi,
yeah,
which
insane.
Is not the norm, but it's possible. Not Hwangi, Lower Zambezi. Anyway, so we watched this warthog, these two warthogs come down, and the warthogs were so bold, right?
I mean, and Willie did say, which made a bit more sense, that if it had just been one of them, they wouldn't be as confident. But because it was the two of them,
yeah.
they were kind of giving each other a bit more confidence. But they came... We originally saw them and we were like, oh, maybe the dogs will hunt. That would be so cool. And then they totally uninterested. I think probably the warthogs picked up on that a little bit too, that like the dogs weren't... I mean, they weren't even getting up. But they walk like 10 feet... from the wild dogs,
yeah.
and are looking at them and kind of walking away and looking at them, and then they go and drink, like, not even far from them at the
yeah.
waterhole. They could have gone so much further away.
And then the warthogs end up actually, like, spooking the dogs, right? The warthogs run towards the dogs
yeah.
and spook them, and the dogs kind of get up and are like, okay, let's move.
Yeah.
In between that, we also... Sorry, there's so much more to talk about. I just want to kind of skim over the sighting a bit. But, like, there's a giraffe that comes down. The same giraffe comes down and has a drink. Which was lovely, and then a solitary baboon comes down and has a drink as well. And
interestingly, we had heard the baboons shouting, like alarm calling, not much, but maybe two or three times.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, it must be because they see the
dogs.
Wild dogs.
Yeah.
But then the baboon came down to drink
yeah.
next to the dogs. We were like, well, that's a bit weird.
That's
why is he
yeah.
alarm calling and then coming up to the thing to drink beside the
yeah.
alarm calling at? But okay, no matter, like.
Yeah, when the dogs moved off because the warthog scared them, they went into the shade of a bush, and because it was getting a bit warmer then, they lay down and kind of went to sleep. We left them then. We had a couple more phenomenal sightings on the way to the lodge. I think the best one was probably this warthog mother with these two miniature hoglets.
Two or three day old
hoglets.
Little hoglets.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little things. We'll post a photo of them, but
yeah.
like teeny
and,
tiny.
And these hoglets were like... zooming around, so
yeah.
even when they're that small, they're already incredibly quick. But that was
they
just
had
a lovely
zoomies.
Lovely little sighting. Yeah, we get to the lodge and we have lunch. We're permanently full at the moment because we're just eating the whole time, but we have lunch, and while we have lunch, there's this African darter, which is like, it looks kind of like a mixture between a cormorant and a heron, is sitting on this little island of reeds in the water, which is in front of the lodge. And it spears itself a fish. I can't remember what kind of fish, a bream or
it's
a barbel or something.
A bream, yeah.
A bream, yeah. And then we watch this darter try for the next 10 minutes to swallow this fish, which it eventually does.
Which was incredibly impressive. I didn't think that it was going to manage.
Anyway, now we're actually getting to the really good part of the podcast, because we went out on afternoon game drive, and the afternoon game drive, yesterday afternoon's game
right.
drive.
So that wasn't even a game drive. That was just the drive from the airship
right.
to the lodge, which was a 45-minute drive that turned into like a 2-hour ordeal of just like nonstop action.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So then we get here, we have lunch, and we go out on afternoon drive.
Yeah.
And
okay, so Willie, our guide, who is absolutely fantastic, extremely good, experienced, passionate guide, tells us, like, he knew we'd asked him about leopards in the area. We always ask what sort of stuff people have been seeing and what is normal to see here. So he told us, all right, there's a leopard in the area. One of the guides has found it, and he says, can we go to it? So I think we've talked about this in previous episodes. The guiding teams on the ground here, they help each other and they talk to each other on the radio, and if they find an animal, they obviously want everybody to get the opportunity to see that animal. So another guide at the lodge had been out earlier and called in that he'd seen a leopard. We drove to where this leopard was, and I haven't seen a leopard in ages, I mean since the last time I was in Africa, and there it is. You just see this little white tip of the tail as it walks through these bushes, being typically like elusive, just kind of not remaining hidden and secretive.
But what was interesting was that we'd asked Willie, okay, you know this leopard, like what's she like? And
yeah.
he was like, yeah, she's a very cool leopard. She's very relaxed around the vehicles.
Yeah.
She's about like 5 years old. I can't remember if she had had cubs or not yet.
No, he said he was aware of.
Yeah. He said maybe during COVID when they hadn't been here, but he didn't think so. But she's very relaxed.
Yeah.
So we see her walking, and then all of a sudden, the next thing we know, she's running.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. Like, a relaxed leopard doesn't run from the vehicle.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Why is she running?
Well, so she runs and, like, sprinting off away from us. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm not going to see this leopard. And we haven't seen a leopard yet in the Delta. So I really wanted to see a leopard. I'm like, oh, she's disappearing. And then Willie again says, dogs, dogs. And there are dogs that are chasing this leopard and they tree her. And what that means is that the leopard is basically so afraid of these dogs that it runs and climbs into a tree, which is literally the only place that a leopard can get away from dogs. And the leopard plonks herself down on top of this, like, really awkward part of this.
It was like a shrub
tree,
in a tree, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And just sits there. And the dogs, they're still, like, they're just so excitable. And they're just, like, actively missioning around at the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
They eventually move away. They're, like, defecating and urinating. And they're just, like,
happy-go-lucky.
Their
tails are up and they're kind of just yipping around.
And it's the same four that we'd seen. So Hadley
mentioned
earlier now that there was the baboons were alarm calling. And we'd noticed that
the dogs had been looking
into this area, and it was obviously because this leopard was there. And so the dogs moved off, and we decided we haven't seen a leopard properly yet. Let's
stick
spend some time with this leopard
and see if she comes down. Also.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that the dogs have moved off, okay, the threat has moved.
Right.
Maybe she'll come down and keep.
Yeah.
Because we had heard her actually the way that we found her, because the guide had left. That we found her was she was calling, she was vocalizing, and so Willie was saying she's actually been vocalizing for the last 2 days. Maybe she's looking for a mate, so probably she'll come down and keep patrolling, and keep calling, and keep looking for a mate. So let's wait it out and see.
Which would have been amazing as well, but so she was warily looking around for these dogs and wasn't coming down from the tree yet. Then a hyena shows up. Hyenas are also animals that leopards would be in direct competition with for food sources, so they're not friends. And this hyena comes to the bottom of the tree, and you can see this leopard is getting uneasy. And
she's kind
is
of
like,
readjusting.
Yeah, she's readjusting,
and
her ears are very flat, and she's
kind
of looking.
Twitching.
Yeah, tail twitching. She's looking down at this hyena, but the hyena, though it had sensed the leopard was there, didn't really. There was no kill, so I think that there was nothing really to be gained from remaining in the area. So the hyena moved off. We spent another probably half an hour, 45 minutes with the leopard, with this female, and we were talking to Willie about her and, oh, look at that, purple heron.
Oh, very cool.
We were talking about, you know, Willie was explaining this leopard and the leopard dynamics to us a little bit, which is really interesting.
It's
I just love, he's been here for 5 years and he just knows the cats and their dynamics and the dogs and their dynamics so well. And it's just lovely to hear about the family trees of the cats and how
they evolved and
how
they're intertwined.
Yeah, what areas they're in. What was also cool was we had a big herd of elephants that walked just behind the vehicle. And
while she was in the tree
in front of us. And yeah, that was just another lovely thing to see. What we did then was, it was not dark at all yet, but there was probably 45 minutes of daylight left.
Yeah.
We decided to leave her because she looked like she was settling in to snooze. I think she decided to change her behavior and there were too many threats in the area. She was going to snooze there probably until dark.
Yeah.
We decided to go out and maybe follow up on some, because we heard some lions calling.
Lions calling, but then we drove away from her and we could see that the dogs were in this open plain. So we said, okay, let's just go see what they're doing, because they had been active already. So maybe they're going to stay active.
Yeah.
And we get there and they're getting up and they're starting to kind of trot around. And we were like, okay, lions, we've seen a great amount of lions, great sightings so far. Let's stay with the dogs. We haven't spent much time with dogs on this trip at all. And what a treat. So let's follow them.
Yeah, exactly. And
they go. And
yeah, so it's a small pack of dogs, right? Because Willie had told us there were six of them initially. Now we could, well, sorry, there had been five pups in the litter. Four of those pups had been killed and there was only one pup left. There were three adults and the pup, and more recently there had been five adults, and two of them we didn't see yesterday, so they weren't there, so we don't know exactly what's happened to them. Anyway, my point being that they hunt in the mornings very regularly, and if they're a bigger pack, they sometimes hunt in the afternoon as well. But smaller packs don't necessarily need to hunt in the afternoon, because if they catch something in the morning, it's usually big enough to feed them for the day. But this pack was very active,
yeah,
and they were moving. And what was quite cute was that the three adults, the alpha male and female, taking point and kind of making the decisions, especially the alpha female, I think,
mm-hmm.
Were at the front. But this little pup, which is 5 months old or so, is kind of trotting in behind and trying to keep up. And it was just very sweet to see that.
It was also cool. I mean, of the predators, I would say wild dogs are probably the best, if not one of the best, parents. Like,
yeah.
Willie was talking a little bit about how, like, lions, for example, the cubs have to kind of fight for food. If, like, there's a kill made, they have to kind of fight for their spot there. Whereas with wild dogs, the parents or the pack will go out and hunt, come back and regurgitate for the pups. And even once they're older and have are able to come and feed on proper kills, they'll always make sure that the pups eat,
yeah,
and eat well. And it was really sweet to see that the, not the alphas, but the other adult that was with them, kept kind of dropping back or waiting for the pup to catch up. And then they would kind of like touch noses or touch shoulders and then keep going. And it was just so sweet seeing,
yeah,
that the kind of tenderness of this adult that kept kind of looking over its shoulder to make sure that the little,
yeah,
4 or 5 month old little juvenile cadet was keeping up.
Yeah, absolutely. They were missioning around, right, these dogs. They were walking around with a purpose, and the purpose was to scent mark their territory. Willie told us that there's two other packs that also frequent this area, so they were obviously indicating to this other pack that this is their area that they're in. They have very big home ranges. I mean, you can call them territories, I suppose, but they're home ranges, and they do overlap with other dogs' ranges. We get into this really open area, and I mean now this really massive open plain that during the wetter months would probably be flooded,
mm-hmm,
and far in the distance there are three tsessebe antelope, which is this very, I suppose in its structure it looks like a pronghorn,
mm-hmm,
if anybody in the States knows what a pronghorn is, but they are this extremely agile antelope. It's very slim, very streamlined for speed. These tsessebe have three youngsters, three calves, that are also
very
close
small.
by. And Willie says immediately, oh, they're going to go for the youngsters, because that's easier. Because the adults, I mean, dogs are quick, but they're not as quick as a tsessebe. And the adult,
which is arguably the fastest antelope.
It's up there with...
In Africa.
Yeah, it's one of the fastest antelope, if not the fastest antelope,
yeah,
on the African continent. And anyway, these dogs, the three adults, they spread out into this,
God,
like, phalanx of three, or this kind of spear shape of three. And... Then,
floor it.
And yeah, they start galloping and then they floor it. Willie turns around to us and just shouts,
hold on,
and takes off after them. And now we're driving so fast. These dogs are
flying
ahead of us.
Like, dust clouds are behind each and every individual, just like billowing behind them. They're running so fast.
We are not gaining on them in a like 4.2 liter Land Cruiser.
We're losing. They're easily gaining on us.
They're way ahead of us. They are sprinting and sprinting and sprinting. The tsessebe, as they had started sprinting, no, sorry, what had happened actually
before,
was what caused them to start sprinting and start the hunt was that the dogs had realized that the tsessebe had spotted them.
Yeah.
But dogs usually use stamina to hunt down their prey, and they're not nearly as worried about like
being spotted.
Spotted like a leopard would be, or even a lion, or like, I suppose, well, not necessarily cheetah, but yeah, leopard and lion certainly,
yeah,
use you know,
their
cover and surprise. But the dogs, when they noticed that they had been spotted, they were like, well, we're gonna hunt you anyway. So they ran, and they just, it was
we're
amazing
coming.
Like, we probably were driving at, I'm gonna say 40 miles an hour, 35-40 miles an hour for a good minute and a half, or a minute at least, which
and
is
we
a,
lose them into the distance,
which is like, it's such a, I mean, it's felt like a really long period of time, that minute. I'm going to,
yeah,
be able to remember that minute forever. And we lose them, yeah, because the plane, massive as though it was, ended, and there was like a bit of a thicket before the next plane. The dogs they don't need to slow down when they go through a thicket.
Yeah.
They followed the sesame. We had to drive around this thicket. We get to the other side. There is a massive open plain, and the dogs are gone, and the sesame are gone. And we're like, where are they?
What's happening?
And so, I mean, we're, everybody's heart is beating now. Like, I can see that Willie's also just loving it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely having a blast. And we drive around for a little bit, looking for the sesame, looking for the dogs. And we spot them. And we're like, geez, they must be exhausted, because before they started this sprint, they had run for about a mile and a half, just kind of like this gentle trot that they do, covering ground, marking their territories and that. And then they had sprinted, like full on flat out sprint for a good 2-3 minutes. And then we found them and we thought, they're going to be exhausted. They're going to like lie down and sleep now. The sun had just set, and we were thinking, you know, maybe they're going to find a place now that they can relax for the afternoon or for the evening, and maybe they'll try hunting again tomorrow. No, not at all. They they kept moving, they kept running, and we were following them. We followed them for another, I'm going to say 10 minutes while they were trotting like that. And then they cut into a slightly thicker area, and Willie said, no, they're going to come out on this side. So we drove around this kind of thicker area again. And then on this road ahead of us, we see an impala, and this impala is like fleeing for its life. I mean, there's no other, that's what it is. It was fleeing for its life. You could see it's kind of kicking its heels out, it's sprinting. And an impala is a fast antelope as well, and the dogs, I don't know if they had actually pursued it at all. I think this impala had just seen the dogs and taken off. But now at this stage it was almost completely dark, so we decided we're gonna leave the dogs to it, and we left them. And I mean, what a sighting. That's up there with one of the best sightings I've ever had.
The adrenaline when the sesame saw the dogs, and when Willie saw the sesame see the dogs, and the dogs see that the sesame have seen them, that 5 seconds of him being like, they're gonna go, hold on, and looking over at the dog, at the head of the I think it was the female that was at the front, of her just like starting, and the sprint that she threw down in that 2 second window. I mean, it was like, just your whole body is like, oh my god, it's happening. It
like when I say when I say, like, you know, if we're on a long hike with our dog and I'm like, and you say, oh no, he's tired, and I say, no he's not, he's a dog, he's fine. I guess
you're just like, yeah, he's part wild dog.
Like, he's part wild dog. Wild dogs are the most athletic animals, and have the most stamina, you know, like wolves, I suppose, do. I just haven't really been lucky enough to observe wolves for any given period of time. So, like, they have such natural athletic ability. They're able to run, sprint, jump.
Everything.
It's amazing, really. Anyway, we switched off after we left the wild dogs. We kind of switched off the engine, and we heard a leopard calling in the distance, and Willie figured, oh, maybe it's that female leopard. So we kind of drove in the direction of where that call was coming from, and now it was pitch dark. Willie was using his flashlight. We switched off the engine again.
Spotlight.
It was dark. Willie switched off the engine again, and we heard this leopard calling again. This one was quite a bit further away, and he said, no, he still thinks it's this leopard, but you know, it's getting a bit dark, and she's quite
going
far away.
Direction.
So we decided to go back to the lodge. It had been one of the most productive game drives already.
And then we saw the jackal pups.
Right, but we didn't know what it was at first.
Well, we see this. So the spotlight is like this massive flashlight, basically, that the guide kind of swings back and forth in the road and area in front of the vehicle. And normally what happens is that it catches the reflection of an eye. And if it's a prey item, like an antelope or basically an animal that's awake during the day, you don't shine in their eyes because it kind of blinds them the same way it would blind our eyes if you look in a flashlight. But the predators you can view at night. Obviously, you don't shine in their eyes, but so you're looking for predator eyes, basically.
Yeah, right.
And where so you're this light is going back and forth, and it catches movement. So he goes back to it, and I'm like, what is that? And I think my first reaction was I thought it was a bat-eared fox, and then Willie was like, it's yellow mongoose, and I was like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then realized that there's three of them, and I was like, three yellow mongoose?
It just didn't make sense. Like,
what?
None of, like,
and you thought
I was like, oh, it's a jackal.
And then you were
but
like...
But I was like, oh, it's a mini jackal. And then I thought, but that doesn't make any sense. Jackals aren't mini. And my brain couldn't connect that these were just baby jackals, young jackals, right? I just couldn't put it together for some reason. But Willie then was like, no, they're baby jackals. And
they were tiny.
They were very small. It's the time of year where jackals are denning still. So jackals regularly give birth in sort of late August, September, even through October. These jackals were maybe between 6 weeks and 8 weeks old, I would guess. Hard to tell at night and they're kind of moving away from you. We managed to identify them, but we didn't follow them because, like, they have to make sure that they're safe.
And there were no adults with them, just the three pups.
Exactly. When the adults are away, then you don't generally spotlight young animals unless you know the individual animal and unless you know that they are able to fend
close
for themselves.
And close to the den, or, you know, you just don't
want to. Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of the last thing we saw before getting back last night. We've turned this into an episode by itself. We were going to do an episode about Vumbura.
Yeah.
Full stop, but now we've done one episode about game drive number one. We're going to do an episode, I think, about game drive number two, because that's an episode in itself.
I mean, this morning's game because drive was ridiculous.
This morning's game drive.
And we still have this afternoon, so there might be an episode number three.
Exactly. Anyway, we're definitely going to do another episode about Vumbura. Maybe it'll just be about this morning's game drive.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this one, and we will hopefully you tune in again and listen to the next one soon, whenever it gets released. Thanks for listening. To make sure you don't miss an episode of the podcast, log on to trunksandtracks.com or follow us on Instagram at trunksandtracks. There you'll see all of the photos and videos that accompany all the stories that you've heard in this podcast episode. And if you're really keen on getting all the content, then make sure to subscribe to our mailing list, which you can do on the website.